KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Treatment. So I bet you're curious about what gadget you'll be using next. Or maybe you're like me, you just want to visit the most cutting-edge museums. So KCRW is a podcast DNA that sheds light on the culture and trends in design and architecture, hosted by an industry insider. Check it out. I think you'll dig it. Find DNA on KCRW's iTunes page.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. My guest sitting across from me today, and I'm glad he's here, Christoph Waltz, of course, we know from his work with Quentin Tarantino and Glorious Bastards and Django Unchained. But in the past few years, he's worked with directors from Michel Gondry to Terry Gilliam to Roman Polanski to his newest film with Tim Burton, Big Eyes. First of all, Christoph, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you for inviting me.
And it's interesting, the last few directors you work with, and you can say maybe this applies to Quentin a little bit, are people who sort of live in two cultures, who live in two places, because Tim even spends most of his time in London and works here. And I wonder if you feel some kind of simpatico with those filmmakers, these people who understand and know how it means to have a foot in two different places.
Not sure. Certainly an interesting aspect. I mean, it doesn't mean what it used to mean in, let's say, Fellini's time, because Fellini insisted in being not only in Italy, but in Rome or in Rimini. That's what his whole system and cognitive apparatus was tuned into. Now, in that so-called and somewhat lamentable age of globalization, everybody prides him or herself in being in more cultures, more places at once. Maybe it works. It depends on the individual. But altogether, I would say, or in general, I would say that it is at the expense of authenticity.
Why do you say that?
Because it, especially in movies, it's very difficult to avoid that great American example. Everybody wants to make movies that are in a way, or at least keep in mind that the greatest movies come out of America, one way or another. So as much as English, American English becomes a global language, American movies become more or less, at least in the Western part of this world, American movies become more or less the cultural metronome in a way. So I notice that language changes according to American movies, and even oddly in Germany, where they translate and dub American movies, the language kind of turns into, despite the fact of being German, into a Germanized American English. Gestures, you know, behavior, all of that, because American movies make such a strong impression. You know, that we can argue separately about why that is, but that it really becomes almost a mold for behavior and expression, and definitely for cinematic expression.
And you are a true international citizen, and a lot of people, as you were saying, talk about being internationalists, if I can make up a word here, but they spend a bit of time one place and a bit another. You live in several places, and these filmmakers I've talked about, filmmakers who live in, who have homes in several places, like, say, Burton, London here, Terry Gilliam grew up here, London, Michel Gondry, Paris, and here. Polanski spent a lot of time here, and in fact shot a film about the United States with you, not in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. But I think these directors that you mentioned and who I am lucky enough to be in touch with and have worked with, they are such authentic, individual, and unique voices that Tim Burton doesn't make American movies. He makes Tim Burton movies. Michel Gondry Apart from the fact that when he speaks English, he actually speaks French, and you have to have your French dictionary with you in order to understand when Michel Gondry speaks English. Those are Michel Gondry movies. Roman Polanski, Quentin Tarantino, you know, these are such strong and firm voices that express these very specific, yes, true, culturally grounded in wherever they come from, but very specific artistic voices that it's almost besides the point to argue where they come from. I mean, not when you talk about the genesis and development of these talents, but certainly now that they are established.
There's a curiosity I have about this, though, because again, I think there's a kind of fearlessness that comes from that, because these movies aren't so parochial. And in fact, they're movies that are about the world in their way. And I feel like that certainly comes into play in Big Eyes. It's, yes, a movie that's just, it's not about that place, but yes, it's about any number of places. And about that phenomena of the Keens, and you play Walter Keene in the film, that phenomena of starting in a place and becoming bigger than that place.
Yes. No, absolutely. But I very much believe in the pars pro toto, meaning that the specific representing the general, because the other way around just doesn't work in any narrative, especially not in filmic narrative, I think. You know, it needs to be as specific as possible to be perceivable and understood. So in Big Eyes, these are very specific characters in a very specific time, in a very specific place, meaning Northern California in the late 50s and early 60s. And you need to put it into this context in order to understand the story. But since that's exactly what Tim did, he made it so specific down to the you know, buckles on the shoes. Not that it is a 60s, you know, San Francisco 60s museum. Not at all. But it is specific. And therefore, you can actually read it and understand it and connect with it. Had it been sort of watered down and generalized and made universal, we would have ended up with one of the stores that you see in every shopping mall in the world.
It's a treatment. We're getting a little bit epistemological with Christoph Waltz, whose film is active. He's co-starring in the Tim Burton film, Big Eyes. I guess what I find myself attracted to about the characters you play so often, especially getting to know you over the past few years, is that these are characters who have arrived at their idea of a truth. And I just wondered, as these things have been offered to you, if you found that aspect of these guys attractive.
Absolutely. That's really it. I mean, you call it truth. I'm very careful with calling anything truth.
Why is that?
Because I think truth is no absolute. I prefer to refer to it as reality. And again, because it takes away the moral aspect. Truth to me has a moral aspect, and then it already becomes a different discussion. But reality is also not an absolute, but we accept more readily that it is a construction of our minds. So I am always fascinated by constructivists who construct a reality that takes a little mind-bending to follow and understand, and that's what I like to do. I like to figure out what reality or level of reality people exist on and in, and what world, you could say, they actually operate in. And that I feel that expands my horizon a little bit, and that's really what it should be about.
Well, I just find fascinating, too, that concept in terms of the performance for you, that these are guys who are undeterred by anything. And it becomes a romantic notion in Big Eyes. I mean, Walter Keene, he's a romantic who's leading his life in that way of making this commitment to this person and to this life. I mean, he commits to many other things, as we find out in the film. But he does commit. And these characters you play have been people who commit to that reality they've created for themselves.
Yes.
And I think it's a romantic aspect.
Well, you're absolutely right. What it certainly is not, it's not a postmodern aspect where you consider everything an option. You know, that doesn't make for great drama. If you represent a reality, let's just for argument's sake call it such, you better represent it 100% and with full conviction for drama's sake. If you offer it for consideration, then you're not a character in a drama, you're a politician, which becomes a drama only in reference to, anyway.
That's, but it becomes conceptual rather than emotional,
yeah,
doesn't
it? Yeah. It becomes a comment on the situation. And comment is even in literature, comment is only insufficiently satisfying. It's what a critic does. It's a valuable function on a different level. Drama requires conviction and frontal collision.
I like that you're saying using the word postmodern, because it becomes an aspect where you basically are offering comment so people know your relationship to your own commitment. And these guys, and Walter King being one of those guys, I think, leads their lives in almost a Byronic sense. I mean, this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, I never thought of it that way, but he is the sort of epitome of anti-postmodernism. He goes full blast into what he is convinced of, and doesn't question the validity and the intricacies. He just very basically goes with success. It works. And as long as it works, you know, we can sort of turn up the steam even more and see whether that still works. And he kept turning up the steam until the kettle blew. But he had a very firm kettle.
But as we talk about this, I mean, I think you said, because I said romantic, I think of it as being almost an old world, an old world attitude. And so many of these characters you play, I just wonder if that's something you see on the page, or if it becomes a way for you to fix who and what these guys are.
Yeah, I don't approach it academically, I have to admit.
No?
But no, not always. But that's what I take to. That's what I seem to be after anyway, you know, on the page or not. And by not academically, I don't mean that I do everything instinctually and, you know, with the kiss of the muse. All of that I consider actually, anyway.
Doesn't that happen at some point, though?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Come on, I mean, really? I mean, isn't there some point where that thing that Olivier talked about, some point you are transformed by this character you've taken on, it becomes bigger than you?
Yeah, you know, that's a little bit of actor's talk that I have a hard time following.
Why is that? Is it all about skill for you rather than
mm-hmm?
Is it all about skill for you rather than just this kind
no,
of?
No, but it is really a lot of consideration and craft and that's what I like. You know, I never really consider myself an artist. I like to see myself as a craftsman or a mechanic, really.
Not an artisan, but a mechanic.
Yeah, more like that, because I didn't come up with it. I just, you know, pick up the bits and try to make them work.
But you bring something to that.
Yeah, though. Something to it. Yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't want to question that. You know, I don't want to coyly underestimate my contribution. But my contribution. I don't know. You know, I find it more fun to not delve into these grandiose. you know, I like to get on with it. You know?
I'm sorry. I'm taking my guests into fighting off grandiosity. We'll take a break. It's The Treatment. I guess it's Christoph Waltz's newest film. He's starring in is Tim Burton's new film, Big Eyes. Stay with us. There's more to come. Thank you.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
This podcast is produced by KCRW, a nonprofit public radio station based in Santa Monica. KCRW is listener-supported. Help us continue to create and distribute our unique content. Go to kcrw.com/join to donate. And thanks.
Welcome back. It's The Treatment. I'm debating with Christoph Waltz. He's playing Walter Kane in the biopic Big Eyes, directed by Tim Burton. I guess this is a point I can ask you to explain for the audience what the film is about.
Ha-ha. You know, I don't do that.
Okay.
I never explain what the film is about. I never explain what the character is or what the character is about, because I'd be pulling the rug from underneath me. I'd be shooting myself in the foot.
Because
apart from the fact that I consider myself an actor, not a raconteur or a narrator.
You really don't.
Automatically, you know what we were talking about before? My version of it, of telling about a movie, the film itself is the narrative. So if I start telling about the film, I'm already inadvertently, as objective as I try to be, commenting on the film. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give you my version. I do that because of you. Not only for you, but I do what I do so you can actually make up your mind. I just recently saw a fantastic quote, and it is something that Harrison Ford said at some point. Unfortunately, I don't know the exact situation that he said it in, but I saw it at the costume exhibition at the
Academy Museum.
And I just saw this quote in the Indiana Jones section, of course. And maybe it was in the Star Wars section. He said, my job as an actor, I paraphrase, I'm sorry, but my job as an actor is not to show you how close I am to the character. My job as an actor is to show you how close you are to the character. And I find that thought extraordinary and fabulous, because that's exactly what it is. My proximity to a character is utterly irrelevant. What I feel, what I think, you know, what I have to say is completely besides the point. It's you who goes to the movies. It's about you. Godard said that a good film needs to have enough space for the audience to take a walk in. I want to invite you, with what I do, I want to invite you to get in and take a walk. I don't have many principles about acting, you know, and muses kissing and characters taking over and all that. Yeah, that might be the case, but I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it.
It's not ethereal for you, then, is it?
No. It's not. There's nothing ethereal about it. You know, that's a 19th century notion. You know, that's all very, very effective in an interview, but kind of, you know, so really.
But yet we're talking about romance. We're talking about the idea of a character being so, let's say, the idea of ardor, an old-fashioned word, but being in love with
others. Absolutely.
And that's certainly an old-fashioned notion that exists in these people you play.
But that's what I was just trying to get at. One of my few principles is to get out of the way. You know, don't obstruct the character. And you can obstruct the character with ardor and with a virtuoso accomplishment. You can obstruct your character. So you sit in the audience and say, oh, he played it, and, you know, he can do that, and it's unbelievable how extraordinarily, and you talk about the actor. You're not talking about the story. You're not talking about the character. But that's not why, you know, you go to the circus if you want to see an acrobat. It's not really what I see could be valuable in actually helping to transport a story.
But you use the word transport. I mean, and that does happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying I don't do that. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is I think about that, what I just talked about.
Sure.
And I'm not thinking about what Laurence Olivia might have thought of.
That thing that you're talking about, though, it also relieves the audience from knowing that you've made your decision about whether they should like the character or not, too. If you've made a judgment about the character yourself, that would affect the way you played it.
No, that's exactly what I think going to the movies is for, to invite participation on not jumping up on the screen and doing that. It'll come with the development of odd technologies. It'll come sooner or later. But I'm afraid, yes, but I might have kind of exited more or less gracefully by then. But I mean that figuratively, of course, you know, that your participation is really what it's all about. Your engagement, your identification with what's happening on the screen or on the stage, for that matter. You can actually have your inner conflicts be disputed and acted out upon and more or less taken care of in proxy. And your participation in them is without further consequences. You will not have to bear the consequence of what is happening on a screen just because you identify. So that's an important psychological process that you could actually go through watching and experiencing a movie. That's why I think a lot of movies don't live up to that responsibility. I think there's a responsibility attached to that. It's not just a privilege, but it's also there's an onus on the storyteller and a responsibility that's connected to that.
Are you ready for that responsibility yourself now to direct? I'd love to,
because you know I as much as I enjoy and love sitting here with you talking about it, it's just words, and you know, a movie is an experience.
And are you close to something? Are you circling things that you want to do now?
Yeah, I'm making sort of advances, forays, and here and there, but I can't say anything concrete.
But I mean, part of this too. I mean, because of this, the people we've been talking about, the people you've worked with, the fact that you played so many characters who've taken so much pleasure in their lives, which is, I think, something that a lot of us aren't used to seeing in movies. Characters who really exult in their existences. Is that something you'd be looking for as a director, to find a piece of material that will allow you to communicate that?
Yeah, more or less. There are so many movies out there with lukewarm characters, and it's as much as you feel in a way sympathetic to their plight or you know, kind of identify with their conundrum a little bit. You know, and you say, all right, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, let's talk about something else. Just knowing how it feels to play a character like that. Absolutely, you're absolutely right. I'm looking for good stories that tell about our lives in this our world, in this our society, in this our time, who do justice to the existence of the genre drama.
I mean, guys, the last question I want to ask you, get back to that idea of these, I wouldn't call these characters hedonists in any way, but I would say that they're men who find a way to find enjoyment in whatever it is they've tasked themselves to do. And I wonder how much of that is you versus what is there on the page, because it seems to be a kind of a linking between those characters.
Yeah, I really think that's unavoidable. You know, with all the talk about method this and method that, and you know, I have to get into the character, and you know, so all of that is true. But the character versus the actor, and the, what did Olivia say? The character taking over, or you know, it sounds good, but you know, it's just one person doing it, and it's unavoidable. It's impossible to really jump outside of yourself. It can be medicated, but I wouldn't see the value. I wouldn't see the value in that anyway.
Was there a period in your career because when you were doing that, when you were trying to sort of transform yourself, and you just realized there was no value in that? It made more sense.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, I tried all not all of that, but I tried as much as I, you know, was within my capability. And
did it seem dishonest to you in doing that, or
no? I just first of all, it didn't help. It helped my sensation of myself in a way. But you know, with experience and age, I started to discover that this is not really what it's about. and if you feel good about yourself in a given situation, could be a nice bonus. But in reference to what the job actually is, it's a little neurotic and pleasure-seeking, you know, addictive. And all of a sudden, you know, you see what I was referring to before, more of the actor than of the character. So with experience, I notice that, yes, you have to fully engage. And every person in this world is not just one, doesn't just have one single character trait. Every person in this world represents the whole world in a way, to different proportions. So what is very easily referred to as a bad guy in a movie is probably just those qualities or in a higher proportion at the expense of being the lovable, amenable, friendly, whatever character. So it's really and to find the right balance within you, I think that makes you adjust to various characters.
I could really do this with you afternoon, but we're out of time here. And I please come back anytime you'd like.
Oh, if you have me, I'd love to. Thank you.
Consider this an invitation. My guest is Christoph Waltz, who's explained the history of emotional engagement. His newest work as an actor is in Tim Burton's new film, Big Eyes. The recording engineer is Ray Gwarner. The show is mixed by Melissa Morton, edited and produced by Jenny Radelet. I have nothing left to say. It's The Treatment.
Find past episodes of The Treatment at kcrw.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Listen to The Treatment on demand on your smartphone with KCRW's apps. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.